episode 6 of Popcorn and Lore, a podcast with myself, JC, and
Steph with an F.
How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Well, today on this episode, we're going to be talking about our guilty pleasure rom-com. And if you're anything like me, this was a hard choice. How about you?
I actually started debating between 4 different ones. I told you about 3, but last night I had an epiphany about another one. But I picked the one that I would watch over all of them. So,
right. So that's what I had to do. There were quite a few that I really wanted to choose from, but we can cover those in later episodes should we so choose to do so. But for today, I want to discuss a movie that is very near and dear to my heart. I was probably watching this under the age of 10 starting out. I have no idea why. I love this movie. You've Got Mail with Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. It's a great movie. Have you seen it, Stephanie?
It's been a long time, but yeah, I have seen it.
It's a great movie. I don't want to bore you with everything, but I will give you a bit of a synopsis, and we can go from there. So Meg Ryan plays Kathleen Kelly. She owns this bookshop, and she really enjoys it. Her mom owned it before her. It's been in business for a long time in New York City. One of the things that happens from there is we see her in her apartment, her boyfriend, and she has this relationship that is fun, but it's safe. It doesn't really have any pizzazz to it. And, you know, it's one of those relationships that's just kind of cringy. It's like we're together, but we don't really want to be together. I don't know how to explain it. You've got to see it. Yeah. From there, her boyfriend, Frank, leaves the scene and heads off to work. Frank is a journalist. He does column pieces, that sort of thing. He leaves, and Meg Ryan's character hops on her computer and gets onto like an IM platform almost. It's through AOL, I believe, actually.
It's the OG of email. Right. Yeah,
it is AOL. I was just looking at the synopsis here online. I don't even need to read it because I know this movie by heart, basically. From there, she starts messaging this mysterious man, we don't know who he is just yet, who turns out to be Tom Hanks, Joe Fox, who is part of the Fox Books Corporation. And he's in business with, it's his dad, and I believe his grandfather. Well, she's built up this sort of a pen pal relationship with Joe Fox. And it's a relationship where they don't discuss anything personal. It's fun little, nothings that they talk about, basically. So I'll give you a couple of examples. Let me pull them out here.
Well, and while you're doing that, please. Correct me if I'm wrong. They actually met, their characters met in real life and didn't really like each other that much, right?
Yes. Yep.
So it's one of those, you know.
That's right.
Falling in love with who you're writing to and everything. But
You don't want the whole plot. Kids, I can sit here.
No. I want to hear the plot. But guys, do know that anyone that's listening, please be very careful. Don't trust everything that you see on the internet. I know this rom-com makes it look cute and everything, but it can be dangerous.
And I'm glad you brought that up because as cute as this is, and I rewatched it last night for like the first time and maybe 6 months. I mean, I used to watch it all the time. I've said that already, but it's a fantastic movie. But please be careful online. Stephanie is absolutely right. Especially in today's world, you can never be too careful. It is easy to impersonate someone. You hear about identity fraud and that sort of thing all the time. Moving on from here, though, we have interesting conversations about, New York in the fall, getting Starbucks, the sound of the city streets. They talk about these things that really have no meaning to them, but they're building up this fondness for each other online. And we immediately see pretty quickly the contrast between Kathleen Kelly and Joe Fox. Joe Fox has this big bookstore. Think your big major brands. So pretty soon into the movie, we see a contrast between Kathleen Kelly and Joe Fox. One of the things that we see is that Kathleen Kelly's way of selling books and relating to her community is more personable. Her customers know who she is. It's very warm and homey in the bookstore. The staff of the bookstore are basically built into the store itself. They've been there for a while. They appreciate the store. they enjoy it. You switch sides to Joe Fox, who is running Fox Books. I just knocked the mic out of the way. There we go. You switch sides to Joe Fox, who's running Fox Books, and it is a more corporate setting. And there's nothing wrong with corporate inherently, but we all know it doesn't have that more homey, down-to-earth feel for the most part. I don't want to get too far into the plot, but I do want to say this about it. It opens with a very fun, welcoming music number. You see a lot of digital animation that for the time I think was very interesting. I think I did mention this came out, or no, I haven't mentioned yet. This came out in 1998.
Yes.
And I was born in 97.
Yep. But it, I mean, that's why these classics last as long as they do.
Yeah.
Also, for any of our younger viewers who didn't grow up in the newer internet age, flip phone age and all that. And I don't even think they had flip phones. They had different brick ones.
Yes.
Back then. You know, that kind of age, especially with showing like the email and everything. I know it looks ancient, but that was cutting edge back then.
And they had instance of the dial up sound a couple times. And so yep. You have that dial up for people that didn't grow up with that. And it was pretty well out of, you know, technology by the time I think I was growing up. I think I might have heard it once. But I did not grow up with dial-up. How about you, Stephanie?
I did grow up with dial-up. And I remember it took a bit for that dial-up to come on, and you hoped that no one needed to make a phone call.
Wow.
one thing, one little trivia bit here that I have from this movie, as I was looking up while you were talking, mm-hmm. The scene where Joe accidentally closes the door mm-hmm. of Kathleen's shop on the balloons was completely unscripted.
Oh.
Tom Hanks actually did that in ad-lib, the line, good thing it wasn't the fish. So definitely keep a lookout on that.
I tell you, Tom is a guy who can play just about anything, I think. I mean, he's had such a diverse set of films in his career. But I'll get back to the film, and I want to touch on a few points, and then we'll let Steph take over with her rom-com. And Steph, I'm sorry, I've kind of got more detail here than we need. I do want to cover these real quick, guys. One of the cool things about this movie, and you see it from the beginning, is that Joe and Kathleen cross paths multiple times throughout the film and don't even know that they are speaking to one another over AOL. That's just a funny little tidbit, and it kind of speaks to this idea that you never know where you're going to find love. It could be right in front of you. But they're virtual pen pals, and they talk about a lot of different things. I've covered that. But I do want to say one of the things that we notice in the movie when she meets Joe Fox for the first time, as you said, Stephanie, it's in her bookstore. And Joe doesn't immediately come out and say who he is. He says, just call me Joe. Well, later on, she finds out, oh, it's this Joe Fox guy that I met at the bookstore. And they become enemies. But what happens through that, it's quite interesting to me anyway. You have this shift between two characters who are very principled in what they're doing. I think that they believe what they're doing is a good thing, or at least it's good for them. You know, but then they kind of go into fight mode. You've got some nasty media battle back and forth. Joe sells cheap books and overpriced coffee. Kathleen sells warm, homey, fuzzy environments with good books that have meaning. And what happens from here, Steph, and it's like you said, be careful online because, you know, that this is a movie. Not to say you can't find love online. You can. But this is definitely dramatized for a viewing audience. But later on, they kind of make up. They become friends. And over time, you can tell that Joe Fox would like to be with Kathleen. But she doesn't know if she can forgive him. By the end of the movie, she meets this gentleman that she's been talking to online, and she finds out that it is indeed Joe Fox. Great movie, very heartwarming, it's fun. I highly recommend it for anyone.
Well, and I have to say, Meg Ryan, a fantastic actress.
Yes.
And also they had a lot of other great actors and actresses in this movie. especially our audience age yes. would know who, you know, who they are and everything.
Dave Chappelle's in the movie.
Yeah, even, yeah, Dave Chappelle, you know, it has even like Parker Posey is in that. Mm-hmm. And like they have a lot of big names and it's a lot of great acting.
Yes.
And again, they were also working with a medium that was new with doing it for email
right.
through that instant messenger and everything. That was a newer concept that in those days.
Yes. And I think right now you have movies like, I don't know if you've seen the movie Missing Stephanie or Searching, but it's a concept of the entire movie takes place over like a FaceTime video call.
Yep.
And so everything that you see, it's from the perspective of the phone or the tablet or the computer. That's kind of the next step compared to, oh, we're messaging over AOL, which, by the way, I am at least within the age range where I do remember a little bit of AOL. It's not a big email platform right now. I don't think it's
one yeah,
of the
bigger by ones. That time, I know Yahoo was coming around. Google, I don't think Google was quite, it wasn't Google yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the name was there, but
Hotmail.
Yeah, Hotmail and all those. There was a lot more starting to come out, but AOL was the biggest one, wow. especially with Instant Messenger back in the day.
Well, I think from here, I've told you all enough to whet your appetite and get you interested in this film. I highly recommend you go see it, but I don't want to spoil everything. So let's get over to Sweet Home Alabama with Steph.
Yes, I chose Sweet Home Alabama. It's one of the rom-coms that I go back to a lot. I was actually debating between four, but this was being one of them, of course, rom-coms. But this is the one, like, out of all of them that I would turn back on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Reese Witherspoon does a great job on playing Melanie Smooter at first. That's not her last name that everyone knows her by.
Okay.
Because she is, it's Cartwright. Because she was from the Alabama, and she moved away to New York to start a new life. So what happened was that the scene that opens everything up is actually the actress Dakota Fanning. Plays the young Melanie. The actor that plays Melanie's love interest, Jake Perry, they were just kids out. It looks like they're out by like an ocean-ish, or like they're on sand and stuff like that, or maybe like a lake, something like that with sand and everything. And lightning strikes. And that comes into play later in the movie with creating a glass. I'll talk more about that later, but, he's wanting, and this is, they're just kids. He's wanting her to be his girlfriend and, really, I think down the line be the wife. She was like, why? And he says, because I want to kiss you, or because I can kiss you all the time. And so, it goes like, that was a dream, but it actually happened. It was a memory dream. But she wakes up. She is now working in New York. She's a fashion designer. She's been there for 7 years. And so you don't know fully what's all going on at the time with everything back home. But you're introduced to her boyfriend, who becomes her fiance, Andrew. The gentleman is the character is Andrew Hennings. Which he's in the political field on there. He is played by Patrick Dempsey, which some of our listeners may know as Dr. McDreamy off of Grey's Anatomy.
Okay.
And
he's also, isn't he?
He's also in Enchanted.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. He also was in a movie in 1987, Can't Buy Me Love. That's what the movies he's known for. And of course, Reese Witherspoon, you knew her from Election, Cruel Intentions, Legally Blonde. And actually, yes. This movie was made directly after Legally Blonde.
Okay, I didn't know
that. She got the part on the same weekend that Legally Blonde started airing.
Wow.
In theaters. So, that was a cool little tip that I found. she, so this movie follows them. They're in New York. His mom is the mayor in New York, and she doesn't like Melanie as much. And the reason why is because she felt like Melanie was hiding something. Mm-hmm. Well, she was. She married at one point Jake Perry, who is played by Josh Lucas, who Josh Lucas was also in a couple films, Glory Road and Poseidon in 2006, and Ford versus Fiore in 2019, and a lot of other ones too. Those are just ones that they were known for being in. Mm-hmm. And he is a great actor also. But he plays that country kind of guy.
Sure.
And they married young, and they had some issues, and then she went off to New York.
Now this
still married.
This is not the guy she knew as a kid.
No, that's the same guy. Okay, Jake Perry. They fell in love as kids.
Wow.
And so but the whole thing is, since the wedding announcement between her character and Andrew got announced to everyone from the paparazzi, she now has to go back to go see her family and get Jake to sign the papers to get a divorce so that she can get remarried.
Mm-hmm.
And hijinks ensue. She meets a whole bunch of her friends, and there's so many great actors and actresses in this movie. And it just kind of brings back that country feel, and the chemistry between Jake and Melanie, I mean, is fantastic. And just they're bickering and everything. And there's a little thing, she's called Felony Melanie, and there's a good funny reason behind that. She's not actually a felon, but some stuff that happened back when she was kid.
Oh.
And it's just a lot of fun to watch. But it also shows, like, relationship-wise, because, like, she was also lying to her now fiancé.
Mm-hmm.
And so he comes down, and the first person he meets is Jake, who he doesn't know who Jake is. And Jake takes him to see her, and Jake knows who he is. And so, you know, it's, at that moment, you're like, is Andrew going to forgive Melanie for lying to him? Because not only did she lie about that, you know, her family wasn't who her family was, that tried to be more of a prominent, like, a little richer and stuff like that. But, you know, her parents actually live in a double wide, not in a big old plantation house. But also the fact that she's technically still married. And he had no idea. And now Jake and her had no communication in 7 years. But she was trying to get divorced, and through this movie, she's trying to get him to sign the papers. He finally signs the papers, and she sends them off. And then they're going to do a big wedding there, but hide it from the paparazzi, and more hijinks ensues. There's a good ending to the movie for everyone. And I would also tell everyone to watch the post credit stuff, because they don't have a post credit scene like we're used to with, like, Marvel and stuff, but they have, like, little photos and stuff of what happens afterwards and everything. It kind of, like, concludes it up a little bit, and it's really nice. But all of the scenes, they do a very, very good job on, of course, with acting, but also, like, looking at the town itself too.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing the differences between, you know, where she grew up and where she's at now, and the point of where she is in her life. And also, like, understanding, like, the repercussions of her decisions on different stuff, and her debating, is she making the right decision now?
So I'm curious. And by the way, I love this movie as well. It's been a while since I've seen it. Why'd you pick this one specifically as your guilty pleasure? Like, what for you draws you into this movie whenever it comes on?
Well, for me, it's knowing that, like, she's still discovering who she is.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause and knowing that, you know, her past built her up to be who she is, but, you know, the new experience and everything changes stuff, but you always still have a place to go home to. Also, my mom loved the song Sweet Home Alabama. And, oh, they do play the song at the end of the movie.
Okay.
It's a good whole scene. It's a whole thing.
See, this is good because I forgot.
Yep. But it's a really good movie. But she loved that. And also, it's, to be honest, Reese Witherspoon is one of my favorite actresses. She just does a really great job on all of her movies. She has comedic timing. She also is good at those dramatic scenes. And, you know, the way they showed, because I grew up in Georgia. Now, I did not grow up. I was in a suburb, not a, you know, a little town where, you know, there's only like one gas station or one bank and or the Piggly Wiggly is in there. But I did, when I moved up here to Missouri, I was near smaller towns and we were in that kind of rural area. So I can kind of see the different stuff and everything. And also, for me now growing up, like I remember, you know, my first love, and my first, and I mean, I had a couple of little, you know, quote unquote boyfriends, you know, when you're in junior high and all that stuff, but my real actual first boyfriend in high school, you know, who I thought was going to be the love of my life for the rest of my life. And just remembering, you know, just having to make some of those kind of decisions to, am I going to stay there? Am I going to, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? And I know like you don't get to see that part. You get to hear more about it, but you get to see how she comes to the realization of, you know, like, yeah, you know, I want to move. This is the future I want or to do, whether she's going to marry the guy or not, that, but the path she is on was the right path to go on. But also, maybe not everything is as awesome as you feel.
Right.
And also reconnecting back up with her parents, because, you know, she put it back to this is just some old hokey town. And, you know, realizing that she has true friends there, too, along with her friends, true friends in New York. You know, it's just a good, fun movie. And like I said, her comedic timing and also the times when she has to be a little more dramatic, it's really good. And her Southern accent, the way she switches between having a Southern accent and not having a Southern accent. I mean, she does it flawlessly.
She's almost a fantastic actress.
Yeah. And also the guy, you know, the Josh Lucas, who played Jake Perry, her love from when she was a kid and in her teens, you know, he does a fantastic job of representing, you know, down that way, but also showing that, you know, he's not what he seems to be anymore either. He's mm-hmm. grown up. And really, you know, was this town, like, was this growing up here so bad?
Right.
You know, and it's just nice and a lot of great acting, and all the other actors and actresses have some really great comedic timing also.
And that alone is a really relatable element of, you know, you grew up someplace for so many years, you want to get out and go see the world, go explore, kind of expand your horizons. And then you look back and you're like, maybe where I grew up wasn't so bad after all, you know?
Yeah, and but also I'll still see, not give up everything.
Exactly.
Just to go back home, but like to see like there's an equal balance.
Right.
And also remembering the friends you had back there.
That's right.
So, and, but it's a really great movie and just, it's just fun.
Yeah.
And that was the real key, is I just had fun laughing with it and everything. Bringing up the Rotten Tomatoes, the score's at 78 for audience and 38 for the tomato, reader, but the audience one is what I'm looking at. That's a high rating. And, you know, she had just come off of, like I said before, Legally Blonde.
Right.
And this is kind of a different character.
Yes.
But you also kind of feel like the growth there, like there was growth between her character in Legally Blonde.
Yeah.
And there's growth here, but it feels different too, but it's still like,
because in Legally Blonde, it's a fantastic movie. And I think I've told you, one of the things that you see in any good story, and we talked about this with our previous episode, but is character growth, character development. And you see that in Elle Woods, but I think part of what makes Legally Blonde fun and attractive to people is that it is zany, it's crazy, it's over the top dramatic in some ways. And that's what makes it fun and engaging, at least for me. And so the growth that you see in that is different than what you see in Sweet Home Alabama, to your point.
Yeah, this was more of a realization growth, but a slower. And like I said, it had its funny comedic stuff.
Yes.
But really, it was just deep down, just remembering who she was and who she is now. And, you know, seeing what she wants in the future.
Right.
And, I mean, it's a really good movie. So, and it has a cute scene with a dog, and it's just fun.
Anything with dogs.
Just oh, yeah.
So and it's great.
He's an old hound dog. Oh. So, yeah. But there's also some emotional scenes with that, too. You definitely should check it out. You will see some historic phones. You see some old cell phones in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. Yeah, you won't see like a new iPhone or anything like that. They had like flip phones and stuff like that. So that looking back at those old medias that they have and everything,
yes.
Was really cool. Also, you know, one thing is that little small town, that bank doesn't have an ATM. And they brought up the point in there because that removes the personal relationship between the bank and and the clients. And you see that nowadays, you know, like especially in the upper cities, too, where there's, you know, you go in less to banks.
Right.
So you don't know the tellers as much and everything. And just showing the small town and everything. But there's a lot of fun stuff that happens. And it's just a sweet movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Sweet Home Alabama, you know, and a great, great song. But you all tell us what your favorite rom-com was.
Yes.
Check us out on Facebook. Give us a like. Let us know what is your guilty pleasure rom-com that no matter what you will turn on and just watch it all the way through.
Yes, please inform us. And I'm sure between Stephanie and I, we will come back to rom-coms at some point and cover more films down the road.
Oh, yeah. No, there are so many that I wish I could cover. This is just the one that I knew that I love the most.
Yes.
But you can check us out on all of our social media, our Facebook page, our YouTube channel, Instagram, all by going to @popcorn, the word and, and then lore.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. This takes a lot of time and energy and effort. So please show us some love in the comments or in maybe some messages to our social media. We thank you for any input that you guys provide, and we really appreciate it.
Yep, and coming up on our next episode, we are going to be talking Pixar movies. And what is one of our favorite Pixar movies?
Yeah, keep on imagining.